What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of our Hermeneutics podcast. I've been instructed to not make another Herman Who joke, so I won't do it. Apparently, I've done it every episode up to this point.
Yes.
You're welcome. Today, we're going to be digging into prophecy. Oh, this is actually really exciting for me.
Yeah, prophecy and what do we know about the Bible? What is the Bible? Mm-hmm. What should we expect when we read the Bible? Yeah, all about that.
I'm into this. And just to bring everybody, maybe that are just now jumping into this particular thing, what is hermeneutics? You know, hermeneutics is how you read and study the Bible the right way. Everybody has a lens that they bring when they read the scriptures. We want to make sure everybody has the correct lens of interpretation whenever they're going to the scriptures, and so that they don't wrongly read, wrongly study, wrongly interpret the words of God. So we're working to help everybody build the right lens as they read and study and think on what the scriptures say, so that they can take that and run with it.
Yeah, that's right. And we've done a few things on reading the Bible literarily.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We've talked a little bit about typology.
Right.
We've discussed the relationship between the Old and the New Covenants.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about how to be a Berean. I mean, these are all good, solid hermeneutics lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And we're laying these down, and we want these to be accessible on our website, you know, because you can pour through these so that you can basically give yourself a Bible college education.
That is the hope. Oh, yeah. Man, that just made my heart excited good, there for a second. Oh, man, what a great resource to be able to give people. So, yeah, we're talking about prophecy today. I'm looking at the notes. We're in Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
What insight do you have for us before we start reading and studying the book of Revelation?
That's good. So we're in Revelation chapter 10. It is a type of literature that can be difficult to interpret, but we're going to hold your hand through it. But it is all about this open book, this scroll, this prophecy that's given from God to John.
Mm.
And as we see about this prophecy that's given to John, of course, it's referring to the book of Revelation.
Right.
But by extension, we can apply this to all the prophecy that's given from God to his prophets, the Bible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and so in this little snippet of prophecy being delivered to John, and then he goes on later and writes it, the book of Revelation,
right,
we can learn some of the attributes of the Bible itself.
Oh, okay, very cool. So we'll start here, narrow in, but we'll get some principles that we can apply to the whole,
yeah,
the whole,
right,
of Scripture.
That's right. So I think what would be good to do is just read a few verses, break it down, and work our way quickly through the text, and then we'll come back and look at some of the lessons we've learned.
Okay, awesome. Well, starting in Revelation chapter 10, this is verse 1. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud, with a rainbow over his head, and his face was like the sun, and his legs like pillars of fire. He had a little scroll open in his hand. There's that scroll you were talking about before. And he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and called out with a loud voice, like a lion roaring. When he called out, the seven thunders sounded. And when the seven thunders had sounded, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down."
Okay. So we have this angel, and I can't show you the work on this, but I do believe this is Gabriel.
Okay, okay.
Some people believe this to be Jesus himself, but from what I can tell, Gabriel has received this scroll from Jesus.
Okay, okay.
And Gabriel coming down from heaven with this open scroll in his hand,
okay,
is coming to John, as we're going to see in a second. He has one foot on Israel, his right foot on the land, that's mm-hmm. Israel, his left foot on the land, I should say,
mm-hmm.
and his right foot is moving forward towards the Gentiles. So we have this prophetic word starting with the Jews heading out to the Gentiles. It's shrouded in a cloud. There's a rainbow over it.
Mm-hmm.
His face is shining as the sun. His legs are pillars of fire. All of these are Old Testament symbols, which we will unpack in a second.
Right.
But these help us to understand the nature of this scroll that he has open in his hand.
Mm.
It comes from heaven. It's the word of God.
We got it.
It's the very voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
He comes down to John, and then John, right as the thunders are sounding, as mm-hmm. the word is going forth,
mm-hmm.
John says, "I was about to write this down."
Right.
See, because he is a prophet that writes the prophecies that he receives from heaven.
Right.
But then he heard a voice saying, not just yet. Not just yet. He's going to write it down.
Yeah.
But not just yet.
Not just yet.
Verse 5.
Verse 5, here we go. And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it, that there would be no more delay, but that in the days of the trumpet call to be sounded by the seventh angel, the mystery of God will be fulfilled, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets.
So he's been announcing revelation for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. When the seventh trumpet sounds, the revelation will be complete. The mystery will be fully revealed. Mm-hmm. And we've talked in other episodes about how prophecy is bound up at the seventh trumpet and how that happened after the finishing of the book of Revelation
right.
by John many years ago. Mm-hmm. And he's basically saying, here is the final revelation to you. It's the book of Revelation. And you're going to write it down in a second here. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the final fulfillment of all the prophecy that comes from heaven to man, the Bible.
Got it. Got it. Picking up in verse 8. Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me again, saying, go take the scroll that is open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel and told him to give me the little scroll. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey.
So you see, he goes, he takes the scroll. Now remember, that scroll is from heaven. It's the word of God. It's delivered by Gabriel, I believe,
right.
to John the prophet. And John then is instructed, like the prophet Ezekiel, mm-hmm. to eat the word of God, mm-hmm. metaphorically, of course.
Right.
And that word, that revelation, is going to make his stomach bitter, and it was also going to be sweet. Very much like on the day of the Lord. It's judgment against the enemies of God.
Right.
That's bitter, but it's also good news for his people.
Right. And I took the little scroll from the hand of the angel and ate it. It was sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. Verse 11, and I was told, you must again prophesy about many peoples and nations and languages and kings.
There you go. And of course, he then does prophesy about many peoples and nations and languages and kings. Mm-hmm. And his prophecy, the book of Revelation, is word for word what was delivered to him by that angel. He goes on later, he writes it down, and he seals it up. And that's the end of Revelation. That's the end of all the Bible. Mm. That's right there at the very end. And so with this, we can learn some things about how the Bible was delivered to the prophets,
yeah.
and then from the prophets written down and given to us.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
can learn some things about the nature of the Bible, how it comes from God. It is the very voice of God,
mm-hmm.
how
mm-hmm.
it is preserved by God, how it is open and able for us to read it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we can learn a lot. Now, this is apocalyptic literature.
Right.
It's difficult to understand.
There's a lot of different things happening in it that we're not mm-hmm. familiar with.
Yeah, but I think if we meditate on this and take our time, we can really draw out some of this.
Okay.
And of course, commentators have been writing on this for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a possibility, a real possibility, and I really do believe a promise from God that we can read this open book, we can understand it. There's no reason why we can't. So let's just break down a few things. We see this angel in this scroll that he has open in his hand
mm-hmm.
is shrouded, wrapped in a cloud.
Right.
Now, you know, we start talking about cloud in a vision, and in apocalyptic literature, that's the glory cloud.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Shekinah glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's supreme, sovereign cloud over mm-hmm. everything.
Okay.
Now, we don't have the time to show you all the work on this, but the cloud is mostly referring to sovereignty.
Okay.
That God is independently supreme.
Okay. Okay.
And so is his Bible.
Got it.
And guess what his Bible is independently supreme over?
Everything.
Everything.
Yep.
There is no jurisdiction that is not enveloped in God's supreme sovereignty.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
You know, and this is what's sad about this, is that every time there's an election, what do all the Christians come out on social media and start doing? They start telling us how the Bible is not relevant, how character doesn't matter, how mm-hmm. the Bible has very little to do with this next election.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we know that God is supreme. He's independently supreme.
Right.
And so is the open scroll in his hand. His voice,
Amen.
His word is supreme. It comes to us from the Shekinah glory of God.
Right.
And it is over every jurisdiction of life.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So if you're resisting the Bible, in a sense, poetically, you're resisting the glory cloud.
That's right. That's right.
That is handed to you from the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
You're resisting the voice of God himself. You're treating God like a buffet.
Right.
I'll take a little bit of this.
But not this.
But not this.
Right.
And when you treat God like a buffet, not as one who is sovereignly and independently supreme over every jurisdiction of life, when you treat him like a buffet, he goes silent on you.
That's exactly
It's all right. or nothing.
That's right.
You take it and you eat it, or you don't get it.
That's right. Amen.
You see, there's a lot of people who wonder why God is silent. There's a lot of people who wonder why God won't speak to
bits
them.
Of him. We're like, no, we're not going to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. Well, when we are given the word of God, it is a supreme voice from the throne room of heaven. You have no right to criticize it, to judge it, to critique it, to compartmentalize it, to keep a small little portion of your life outside of its sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, God goes silent on you.
That's right.
When you do that, you are judged. For he who has more will be given, but to him who has not, that which he does have will be taken from him.
Mm. Wow. But you see that played out so much in just like, let's think about the mainline denominations that exist right now, right? Who have given up a little bit, quote unquote, on things like the inerrancy and the authority of Scripture,
mm-hmm.
and the entire denomination tanks within a matter of years.
Absolutely. They lose the Spirit of God like Saul.
Right. Yes, exactly.
And Goliath eventually finishes them off.
Exactly.
The Goliath of the homosexual agenda.
That's right.
Of liberalism or modernism.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, they deny that the Word of God is handed to them from the outstretched hand of Gabriel,
mm-hmm.
shrouded in the Shekinah glory, having come as a messenger from the throne room of God, from Jesus himself.
And has authority over all things.
That's right. They deny that. They deny it. Now, we know in the Quran they believe to have been delivered from heaven to earth on paper, is my understanding.
Oh, really?
That it always existed in that form.
Interesting.
That it was in Arabic, it's not supposed to be translated, mm-hmm. etc. But we understand that the voice of God was mediated to man
mm-hmm.
through angels and through prophets who spoke it orally and who wrote it down. And that, when we receive it, mediated, of course,
mm-hmm.
through an angel or through Jesus or through the prophets,
mm-hmm.
that we are receiving and we are hearing the very voice of God himself. And it is supreme and it is sovereign over all of life.
Okay.
It comes to us from that glory cloud which filled the Holy of Holies.
Got it.
That cloud which fills the true Holy of Holies in heaven. That cloud that the Ancient of Days is shrouded in.
Right.
It comes to us from an outstretched, mediated hand of the angel to us.
Right. Amen.
It's supreme. It's sovereign.
Absolutely.
So when folks like Nine Marks Ministries say that the Bible is not authoritative over the civil sphere, that it is authoritative over the individual heart or maybe over the family or over the church.
But not over government.
But not over the government.
Which is such a shame because Nine Marks, like Mark Dever's church, is on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. It's called Capitol Hill Baptist Church.
Yeah.
But they can't bring the word just literally 6 feet off their doorstep.
Yeah, it is a shame. It is a real shame. And I mean, perhaps in their own minds, slingshots just can't take down giants.
Mm.
But I think what they really believe is that slingshots aren't even supposed to take down giants. Mm. They don't have jurisdiction in that realm. Instead, we're, in the words of Jonathan Lehman, we're to go to wisdom, which he sees as apart from the Scriptures.
Mm.
You know, maybe aligning with the Scriptures here and there, but wisdom, which we can all come together around the table, Christian and non-Christian alike, in a secular, neutral space, and govern a secular, neutral civil politic.
Right. They have not yet embraced the lie of neutrality.
Yeah. Listen, the Bible is supremely authoritative over every area of life.
Amen.
When the elections come around, we ought to judge our candidates by the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
And we've done podcasts on the qualifications of political officers in our God and Government
podcast. That's right. You guys can go find our God and Government podcast and get caught up on all these wonderful things.
That's right. We also see a rainbow. Not only the Shekinah glory cloud, but the rainbow. And you know what rainbows are.
It's the promise of God.
The promises of God, absolutely. So when the Bible is coming to you, it is the very promises of God to you.
Ooh.
He is making promises to you personally.
I love it.
They must be received in faith.
Amen.
You want victory over sadness, victory over loneliness, fear, sin? You need promises.
Mm. That's right. Amen.
We need to take the Bible personally. We need to read the Psalms and see where David is being forgiven for his sins and put our name in there.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we need to read the Psalms where David is being comforted as he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, and we need to put our name in that.
Amen.
Because the voice of God is coming to us. Those are promises for us. Mm-hmm. When Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and he says to the Israelites, he says, these promises, and he's referring to the new covenant, and he even says that these are the very same promises that were preached to Abraham. Mm-hmm. These promises are for you and for your children. We need to take those promises.
Oh, snap.
That's right. We need to take those promises. We need to raise our children knowing that the promises are for us and to 1,000 generations.
Amen.
Amen.
Preach it. I love it.
Because the rainbow shrouds the open scroll.
Hmm.
See, we're getting into this apocalyptic literature. We're trying to learn how to interpret this.
Right. Learn how to read it. Learn how to think through it. Absolutely.
Plus, it's a blinding sunlight. So it's coming to us, this outstretched hand with an open scroll from the messenger Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
He is shrouded in the glory cloud with the rainbow above, and his face is shining like the sun. Now, we know when the light shines that it has an exposing
nature. Right. That's right.
That's what throughout the scriptures you are illuminated by God's word.
Amen.
So that means his word can search you. It can bring you under powerful conviction.
Mm-hmm.
It can shine a light on you and on your world around you, on your problems, on your fears.
Right.
You have to be able to read the Bible personally in total submission, absolute total surrender, because it is sovereign, just like God is.
Right.
Believing every one of the promises for you today, reading it simply, believing it. Mm-hmm. Don't spiritualize it. Don't push it off into the future. Believe that promise for you today.
Right.
Because it comes to you wrapped in a rainbow. Right? And let it pierce your heart. Let it go deep inside of your heart.
Right.
Like the sun's rays, illuminating you, convicting you, exposing you.
Amen.
Get under its searching gaze.
Amen.
Personalize it that way.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But then the legs of Gabriel are pillars of fire. Now, we know where the pillars of fire come from. That's Old Testament too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Pillars of fire, they're purifying, purging fire. That's judgment.
Mm-hmm.
That's judgment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah 23:29, my word is like a fire, like a hammer that breaks rocks.
Mm.
Now, of course, God's word does indeed break rocks. He broke open the fountains of the great deep in Noah's flood.
Mm-hmm.
But he also breaks people.
Right, right.
But what kind of people? Who gets broken? Who gets crushed?
And people don't submit to it.
That's right. Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
Worship or die is one of the main themes of Scripture. You either offer total, unconditional surrender, believing the promises, and being exposed by the Word of God.
Right.
Or you are judged.
That's
or
right.
Or you are crushed.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. So when the Bible says that we are to spank our children, you can either surrender,
right,
believe the promise, let it expose you, let it expose your child, or you can be crushed, you and your child.
And you will be.
And you will be.
That's right.
Which is one of the promises.
Right. We've watched that personally, so I've been a pastor for nearly a decade now, and it's the people who have trouble accepting all of the authority of Scripture, they either repent or they fall away.
Yes.
I have not seen a middle ground on that.
That's right.
Maybe they're in like a holding pattern where God has yet to pass judgment on them and completely toss them aside, but there is one or the other, only ever.
Absolutely. Fortunately, God is patient with us, long-suffering.
Amen.
And we pray that those people would change their mind. But I recently said a few things about spanking on social media.
That was a mistake, wasn't it?
I like to speak on that topic because really what I'm talking about is biblical authority.
Right.
I'm really making a point that even when the Bible goes against the polls or contradicts the zeitgeist, even when the Bible goes against your godless psychology professor, let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
And very often those posts expose the quote-unquote Christians who don't believe God's word.
Mm-hmm.
They say things like, well, now that is what we believed growing up, but after having raised five children, I no longer believe that that's really the best way to do it.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
How many of your children are apostate?
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Overwhelming majority?
Then we have a different issue to talk about.
Yeah, and who are you to take or not take God's word?
Right.
You see, you've placed God in the dock.
Mm-hmm.
But his word comes to you with the very same attributes that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Sovereign, supreme, searching, powerful promises
mm-hmm.
that will crush you like a hammer if you don't submit. But they will lift you up. They will lift you up if you believe.
Mm. Amen.
See, I mean, this is, we think about the creation of the world in 6 days.
Mm.
You don't have a right to not believe it.
Right.
It's there, as clear as day.
Mm-hmm.
When he was done, he said, all of this is good.
Amen.
That's right. You say, well, that was just the Garden of Eden. No, not in the book of Exodus. It says that God made all things
mm-hmm.
in heaven and on earth in 6 days.
Amen.
And at the end of that, he looked out and he said, it is all good. He wasn't looking out at millions of years of slaughter and decay and saying this is good. No, he was looking out at a good, perfect creation and saying this was good.
Amen.
And on the sixth day, he made Adam, and that was thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not millions, not billions. But what about the evolutionary scientists who mock and laugh at God's word? They will be crushed like a hammer.
Right. It will happen.
Yeah.
It will. It is inevitable.
Look, if we don't get it, who cares? If the Bible says it, that settles it.
Ooh, I used to drive by a church sign that said that outside whenever I was a young kid, still in my mocking and scoffing days. And I was like, that's stupid. Those rednecks. And here we are.
Isn't that something? You're a stupid redneck.
That's me.
Man, isn't that something?
Amen.
Yeah. Look at verse 2. Let's read that and take a look at it.
Okay. He had a little scroll open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land.
Yeah, this is a little obscure, but I do believe it's referring to the fact that the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, and that his prophecies in the Old and the New Testament are going forth to the Gentile world.
It's moving
and
out.
And I do like that it's open. That means it's available for us to read.
It's, right. It's not closed up.
Mm-mm.
That's right. It's available. It's out there.
And the technical hermeneutic word for this is the perspicuity of Scripture.
Ooh.
That's right. It means it's able to be read.
That's right.
It, for the most part, a seventh grader can pick it up and get the overwhelming majority of the Bible.
Amen.
It's open. It's accessible. And if you believe it and submit to it, more of it will be open to you.
Amen.
If you don't, it will become an obscure laughingstock to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3.
And called out with a loud voice like a roaring lion. When he called out, the seven thunders sounded. And when the seven thunders had sounded, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down. And the angel whom I saw over the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heaven and what is in it, and the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it, that there would be no more delay.
Here it goes. He's swearing an oath. It is certain. It is true. We can take it as certain and true.
Mm.
And I'll skip down to us. Verse 11, eventually he says, and I was told, you must again prophesy about many peoples, nations, and languages, and kings. And John goes on to prophesy and to write these down in the book of Revelation.
Mm.
So we've learned just a few lessons here as we're getting closer to wrapping this up. Prophecy can be oral.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be written.
Mm-hmm.
All of the Bible is prophecy. Old Testament and New Testament. You see, here we're told that the book of Revelation is called prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
But in other portions of Scripture, all of the Bible is called prophecy. Revelation 22:7 calls the Bible the whole prophecy. The whole biblion
mm-hmm.
is prophecy in Revelation 22:7. It's all prophecy. You know, the New Testament is often thought of to be in a separate category from the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament is thought of to be written by apostles and the Old Testament written by prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that for many years, but I no longer hold to that. The New Testament was written by apostles, yes, but they were all prophets.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. Mark wasn't an apostle. Luke wasn't an apostle. You know, mm-hmm. Jude wasn't an apostle. James
right.
wasn't an apostle.
They were prophets.
They're prophets.
Yeah.
That's right. And so it's not in a separate category from the Old Testament. It is all prophecy that comes from God. It's the voice of God which comes to us.
Amen.
And it has all the attributes of God, like we just learned.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us,
Mm-hmm.
You accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers.
Amen.
Isn't that a great word?
Amen. Absolutely.
That's why David looks at the Bible and he's reading it every morning, meditating on it day and night, and he prays to God in Psalm 119:18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law.
Amen.
It's not that he's not reading it. He's reading it.
Right.
But he understands he needs spiritual illumination to really get all of it because it is the voice of God. It's deep. It's profound.
Right.
And he wants God's help to be able to read it and to listen to it carefully.
And so should we.
That's right.
And so should we.
Unfortunately, in our day and age, folks make a lot about hearing, quote, hearing God, getting words, quote, from God, and being prompted. And I just feel like the Lord is leading me to this and to do that. And I had a vision and I had a dream. And I don't want to disparage those things.
Right.
But we have the voice of God in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not taking the Bible seriously, searching it, digging in it until you hit something solid,
right,
praying that God would open up your eyes to see it.
Right.
How can you expect him to give you more?
Right.
How can you expect him to give you a little guidance on which direction to go?
Right.
Or to give you a little tip on where you should be generous, to be generous here, or give $100 to this person. You know, people talk about these words that they receive from the Lord all the time. That's fine. But if you are not receiving what you already have,
right,
you should not be expecting to get any more.
Oh, right. Dang.
Which is why it is incredibly, sorrowful that churches that focus on getting revelation from God, getting words, getting whispers, getting dreams, getting promptings, the Lord is moving me to this, and God is just telling me to do this. Why is it that they seem to be so biblically ignorant?
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be that way.
Right.
And in fact, you cannot trust people that speak that way if they are not profoundly and deeply enriched in the Scriptures,
right,
letting the Word of God dwell in them richly.
Amen. Amen.
Because when we read the Bible in our devotions, God is speaking to us directly, personally, with conviction,
that's
with
right,
power.
That's right.
He can change
Amen.
Your life. He can defeat giants, and he can do it through his Word.
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen. That's it for today.
All right, guys. Well, thank you all so much for joining us for another one of our hermeneutics podcasts. I am restraining myself from making a hermeneutics name joke.
Thank you.
It was great having you with us. We'd encourage you to check out all of our resources. You can go to wearechristchurch.com and scroll through all the resources we have available there for free for you to access and better learn yourself about what the Lord would call us to do and how to live the Christian life. You can find all of our resources there. You can subscribe to our podcasts in iTunes iTunes doesn't exist anymore. Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're looking to podcast. We would also request that if you are listening to this on Spotify or Amazon or Apple or any of those platforms, that you would rate and review our podcast to help us push this message as far as we possibly can. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time.